welcome to DG Frontiers. This is a collaboration with Australia-Vietnam Leadership Dialogue. So we're gonna explore the dynamic digital landscape of Vietnam and Australia. Hello and welcome to DG Frontiers, a new podcast series under Business Insight on Viet Success. This is Quoc Khanh, your host. And this series is a collaboration with Australia-Vietnam Leadership Dialogue that we talk to prominent leaders and expert entrepreneurs from different sectors. And we try to explore a dynamic digital landscape of Vietnam and Australia. And we hope to dive into stories, trends, what's going on in these two digital economies, and look forward to any potential collaborations that could shape the future of technology innovation of Vietnam and Australia. And our guest today is the founder of Language Confidence, an Australian edutech company that built a powerful AI tool for learning English pronunciation. Language Confidence is actually his third startup, with passion for education stemming from his upbringing in a family of educators. He has lived in China, Singapore, Malaysia, and London with many years of teaching English before starting Language Confidence. So it's my pleasure to welcome, calling from Sydney, Mr. Nicholas Jenkins, founder and CEO of Language Confidence. Welcome to DG Frontiers. Hello, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Kang. Thank you very much for having me. It is my pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for doing this with us. And this is your third startup, right? Is that going to be the last?
Probably not. I think I started building businesses when I was 15. It's just something that comes naturally to me. So probably not. No, I dare say this is what I'll do for the rest of my life.
Right. Tell me again, what inspired you to start this company, Language Confidence? I know you've been a teacher for many, many years, an English teacher, but what really motivated you to get started with this third venture?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I grew up, when my mum's a primary school teacher, my father's a university professor. So I always grew up in this environment of education, and I always wanted to have an impact, and I wanted to do it at scale. And the last company I had was another edtech company, and I had this idea whilst living in China and teaching English. I went, hey, how can I use technology to have an impact but do it at a scale? You know, how do I positively impact a billion people?
Oh, wonderful. You got some tradition, family tradition out there. So explain to us more, because there's so many learning apps out there and learning solution and software out there. English learning is not something new. But I see that you don't have an apps, but you kind of provide technology for your partners. So tell me more about Language Confidence. What's kind of product that you are offering now?
Yeah, look, it's a very, very good question, because you're right. There's a million other companies out there offering an app to learn English, and they all do pretty much the same thing. And the last edtech company that I had was one of those apps. And I think we got 50 or 60,000 downloads, and it was really competitive, and it was really hard to monetize. And the space is really, 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 you know, it is hyper saturated and hyper competitive. So when that company didn't work out and I was teaching English, I saw this opportunity and went, hey, why don't, instead of competing with all these apps or all these digital products for learning English, why don't I build a product that can service them instead? So that I can build something that's very powerful, very accurate, and provide a service which they can't specialize in, instead of competing with them in this really, really saturated market.
Oh, that's a different direction right there. So you, instead of building an app, then you decided to build technology, and then you provided those technology to other apps? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, yeah. So what I wanted to do was build AI tutors or AI teachers, and then provide these via plugins or via an API into these existing products. So we, you know, if you look at Duolingo or Babbel, all these big apps with millions of users, if you go to learn English on these apps, you simply record your audio and then nothing happens. And I was teaching in the classroom and went, hey, why don't I build technology so that you record your audio, submit it, and you get all this feedback that says, hey, you're going wrong here. Here's how you improve. You know, here's some more content to practice based on where you most need it.
Interesting. So how competitive is your market now? I mean, are there any others like technology builders doing the same thing with you?
Yeah, there's a few. It is quite niche, but it's definitely heating. It's definitely heating up. 5 years ago, when I first started the company, there was only, I think, two of us. But now there are a few more competitors appearing in the space as access to AI becomes more and more easy for companies to access. So it's definitely heating up in the space, which is also a good thing for us as well.
Yeah, I guess now everybody's talking about AI, but you started like 5 years ago. And I'm wondering, so you build the technology and you provide them to other language standards and language apps and language solutions. What make it different? What's make the difference? What is the core competency here?
So what we really focus on and what's taken us the most time is our focus on accuracy. So for years and years of work and research was we weren't anywhere near the level of what a human was. And now we're getting very, very close in terms of how accurate a human is into assessing students on their spoken English. So that's what our focus is really, hey, this is the most important thing for students is getting, you know, accurate feedback so that they can improve where they most need to improve. So we've just been really laser focused now for years on building the most accurate technology. And that is, I mean, we don't have any marketing budget. We spend $0 on marketing, and yet we're signing recently, you know, very recently in the past 6-9 months, some very, very large contracts, particularly in Vietnam, based on the products that we have built over the past, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Biggest challenge in achieving the highest level of accuracy for this technology. What makes it so difficult to be accurate, like you said?
There's a few aspects to it that make it very difficult to get this level of accuracy. The first one is the data that you require. So what the data that we train the models on, so for our pronunciation assessment, for example, we have both a UK and a US bias to the accent. So we needed thousands of hours of data for each of these accents. So that's the first one, is having not only the right amount of data, but the right type of data, making sure the data is really clean and really high quality. And then was really simply the AI technology, so the different infrastructure that you actually build the models with. And so we have every week we have a review of the latest literature that comes out of these different models and the different structures. And we're always updating our products to keep up and make sure we're absolutely at the front of the market and putting the latest technology into production. So they were the two problems were the data and then the actual AI that you're building and making sure that that is capable of doing what you want it to do.
How did you get the data that have the quality of accuracy? And you said you're gonna need a lot of data, millions of data from the native speakers or anything, I would imagine. So how do you ensure the quality of data? How do you collect and analyze and make sure that you got the most quality of data for this technology?
Yeah, our data comes from a whole range of sources, from our existing partners, and customers. It comes from, we purchase some of this data, we use some open source data. And then what we did initially was we actually paid annotators or paid professionals to listen to audio and annotate it based on a range of metrics and clean the data this way and eliminate the outliers. And then there's also certain automated ways of doing that as well, making sure that the data is clean and appropriate for what you need. But I probably won't reveal our secret source on that one because that's something that we had to figure out.
Right, I can imagine. How can you imagine to do the startup? You need to have like a technology team and then someone with English teaching experience like you. So the education side and the technology side, which one is the more important, and how do you, you know, get these two sides connect with each other to benefit this startup?
Ooh, I'm not sure I could pick. I mean, I suppose the technology one, if I had to pick one, would be more important, because without the technology, you couldn't have the teaching aspect. So that has to come first. And there was certainly, you know, to convert or convey teaching to different teaching techniques and be able to then translate that into technical terms, sometimes is a very difficult thing, and sometimes it takes time. Fortunately, my co-founder is fantastic. He is an ESL speaker himself. He has you know, taken the IELTS tests.
Get some insight.
And speak. Yeah, so he came from the learning aspect of learning English, yes. And I came from the teaching aspect of teaching English.
Perfect.
So that actually works together. Yeah, exactly.
Perfect
yeah.
combination. I'm curious because learning English and the learning behaviors could be different depending on the cultures and where we are from. I mean, somebody from, you know, from the European countries studying English is different from somebody from Asia. So I'm just curious about the learning behaviors and how does it play out in this technology when you try to understand the behavior and you can apply data and AI technology to provide better solution, better product. What is the aspect of learning behavior going to play? You know, what is the role of that in this field?
Yeah, look, it's a very good question. And we have a range of ideas around this. But right now with our customers, our customer profile is a company that has a digital English product. And we plug in our technology into that. So most of the management of the learning behavior is managed by them. And we see this very different between markets. So India is probably our second biggest market, and it's a very, very different use case to what we see in Vietnam, which is different again to the West or to Europe. So it really, it's hard to quantify because every market is different. Every customer is different. What we do is we provide them with all the data and all the information to make the decision and to choose what to give to the student in terms of feedback. So we don't work on the behavior side of things yet. We're getting there. But for the moment, we see, you know, really different use cases between customers. Like in India, it's, you know, it's a really focused on job preparation or interview preparation, whereas in Vietnam, it's more learning English or IELTS preparation. So there's these really different user personas and user profiles for who actually consumes our product as the end user. But then the user behavior side of things, we work with our customers, but everyone is different. You wouldn't believe it. There's a lot of competitors that we service, and everyone is different between them.
So what is your challenge now? I mean, in finding partners and the language standards or language partners to apply the technology. So are you, for now, is it the priority now is looking for partners?
It is, absolutely. And we've seen an inbound interest. And again, we don't have any marketing budget. So we've seen a really steep increase in inbound interest from the biggest publishers and companies in the world. So that's definitely, and you know, our product is enterprise ready, and we make tens of millions of API calls, and we scale. So we are in a growth phase as well. So we're looking for the right customers that are ready to buy the product and ready to consume the product. But judging on the inbound interest we've had in the past 6 months, I'd say that's almost every education company in the world. Is starting to move. So that's definitely where we're at. The product's ready after many years of R&D. So now we're definitely in a growth phase, yeah.
Yeah, you actually touch on my next question a little bit, because I want to ask about the product market fit for language confidence. I mean, after 5 years, I'm sure you already, you know, achieved somewhere. But what is it right now at the state of product market fit?
Look, it's a very good question. And I actually was just in Singapore meeting some of my existing investors, and we were talking to some new and potential investors about our company. And the problem solution fit was always there. But I think with us, the problem was that we were too early. 5 years ago when I started the business, we had early customers 3 years ago, but no one was really ready to buy an API for automated English assessment. Whereas now you look at the movement in the market, really stimulated by ChatGPT and your generative AI companies, and even very traditionally risk-averse entities like universities are interested in what we're doing. So we had to survive until this point, and now we're seeing things grow organically, which is really rewarding. So I think initially the problem solution fit, you know, was there, but the product market fit wasn't until recently. And which is why we're now expanding past just the speaking assessment APIs. We've built now a writing assessment API, and we've also now built an AI tutor platform, which is a white label solution. So companies can simply buy the access to the platform, brand it of their own, and then have all the functionality without doing any of the integration work. So it's a ready to go product off the shelf, rather than doing the integration work for the APIs to service a different market. So that we're seeing a lot of interest in that too. So very excited to bring that out. We'll bring that out in about mid-January in terms of into production.
What do you think about the growth of this market? I mean, you know, language standards and English partners, English teaching partners gonna have a demand for this technology.
Yeah, I mean, there's some statistics out there that say there's nearly 2 billion people trying to learn English at the moment, or 1.5 billion people. You know, it varies by which piece of research you read. So it's a massive, massive, massive market. And the reason I started the business was because as a teacher at the time living in China, I think I was being paid $50 or $60 per hour as a, you know, just myself. And you know, most students in the world can't afford that. And there's only one of me, I'm only available a certain number of hours a day. And I was like, hey, what if I could build like a digital me and then scale that to, you know, all the people around the world? So there's definitely students looking for the solution. We get a lot of students reaching out to our website saying, hey, can I download this product? I'm really interested. So the market is massive. It's not going anywhere. And I think we're actually seeing a pull from students wanting to use AI technology to actually learn English. So in terms of market timing for a product like ours, I think it's also a very good indicator of what students are actually asking their platforms for.
I see. We're talking about AI, and you mentioned GPT earlier. I'm just curious about the role of generative AI. And how is it going to shape the future of your industry? I mean, the English learning pronunciation, and now with GPT and generative AI, and you see so many competitors out there with GPT is going to come out, release, and so many choices out there. How is it going to affect your technology?
Yeah, most of what we do is so very niche and focused that it's not a massive concern. Of course, if OpenAI with $10 billion of funding says, hey, we're going to build this product, of course, you know, that's very hard to compete with. And the only way we do that is remain very, very focused. So we, in terms of our product, most of it we build ourselves. And we do actually use some large language models, which we've customized for our purpose. So for aspects like grammar assessment, for example, in our unscripted or spontaneous speech assessment product, we've built our own custom large language model to be able to assess that. Originally, we started out with a ChatGPT, but we found it wasn't fit for purpose, and it was very expensive, very slow, etc., unreliable as well. So we wanted to take away that risk and really just focus on that. So there's definitely a lot of good things happening for us. Of course, there's some threats as well in the market. And it'll be very interesting to see when generative AI moves more into the voice space, which is very text orientated at the moment. But I still think that's a little while away for what we're doing, because we are so very niche. But it's going to be really interesting to watch in the next few years.
At Language Confidence, you collaborated with experts from MIT, from Google, and Facebook. How did you go about assembling such a diverse and skilled team? What kind of lesson do we learn here for entrepreneurs seeking those collaborations?
So when I first had the idea and I was teaching, I remember the aha moment when I was sitting in my classroom in Wudaoco in Beijing. And what I did, I went, okay, I understand the scope of this. Who do I need to build this? All right, I think I need some computational linguists. So I literally Googled and went on LinkedIn to find a list of computational linguists, got their contact details through lead gen, and picked up the phone, started sending LinkedIn messages just to reach out and say, hey, I want to build this really cool thing. Can you help me out? And I found a few friendly ears that were doing their PhDs at the time at MIT. And they helped us build the very first or early versions of the product, and they're still shareholders in the company today. And that was just, I just had a problem I wanted to solve. And I think when you're genuinely really passionate about something, people respond to that really well. And I didn't realize this at the time. I mean, I was 25 or 26, I think, at the time. And I was like, hey, I'm Nick from Australia. I live in China, calling, you know, the head of the speech lab at MIT. I was like, hey, can I, like, I need some help building this really cool thing. And so I found some really, really friendly people, really receptive ears that were happy to lend their time and say, yeah, they were obviously passionate about the space too. And once we found those people, that was sort of the start of the snowball to get things moving.
Right. And I mean, talking about online learning tools, there are some challenges need to be addressed. For example, people could question about the ability to for the student to interact with the teacher, and the lack of personalized guidance, the lack of interpersonal skill, like collaboration. What is your thought on this, and how does it impact the future of online learning?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. So we sent out a newsletter maybe 2 years ago, I think, when we announced our seed round of funding. And we got a reply from a teacher saying, this is, what was the quote? I think it was, this is disgusting. I hope you fail. And we contacted her and said, hey, whoa, this is, yeah.
Did he actually say that?
Yeah, I could find the email.
All right.
And we reply back and said, hey, whoa, this is not, we don't want to take your job. We're simply building a tool to help. And that's what we're seeing now. Is there's two use cases for what we've built. The first one is as a teacher's aid. So the student can go home and anytime they want, they can practice speaking English without the need to be face-to-face with the teacher. And the other one, the second use case, is for students that can't afford that tutor time because teachers are quite expensive. They can pay a very reasonable amount of money, you know, $30, $40, $50 a month for access to our customers like Galaxy Education. And they can have unlimited use of a product which allows them to speak. And so I want to make sure that this is not seen as a threat to teachers. I do want to make sure it's seen as a compliment to them. That's a really big theme I've been talking about this year. But definitely one of the things we've noticed is that, and part of the reason I named the company Language Confidence, is a lot of particularly Asian cultures, sometimes it's difficult to put your hand up and say, oh, I'll say this.
And, yes. And in a, we in don't a have classroom that environment. Habit, afraid to yeah. speak up. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do was create a tool that allowed you to build that confidence at home or in a social or an environment that's free of that social pressure. And we've seen that where students will go in and they practice a particular sentence or word until they get it right, and then they move on and build that confidence. It becomes a snowball. And that's how we're seeing, or we're really liking the use of our tools and our technology. And ironically, I think that with the release of ChatGPT and other generative AI tools, it actually makes interpersonal skills more important because everyone now will have a beautiful resume and the best LinkedIn. So the ability to actually converse and talk between two human beings now is more important than ever. So it's actually, it brings it full circle, right? We've, you know, created these AIs to do all the text-based stuff for us. Now it brings us back to speaking. So that will become more and more important being back into face-to-face environments.
Now, mostly doing B2B and you're talking to partners like the English centers or language centers. By talking to them, what seem to be the pain points right now that you haven't been able to provide solution to them yet? What are you still working on for now?
In terms of what we're working right now is building very specifically to us, but we're building we're just about to release a new pronunciation model, which decreases the error rate down to under 1 or 2%. So it's very, very accurate. Building a really high quality writing product writing product. A lot of customers have said, existing customers of our speech APIs have said, hey, the speaking's great, can you do writing? Because we're still having humans mark the essays that we're getting submitted. And so that's the other one is that for them, the pain point is just the time for the teachers. You know, these teachers have dozens of classes and, you know, potentially 100 students or more throughout the course of a semester. So using our products to automate a lot of that marking. So building the writing product for them so that these teachers can be freed up for teaching time whilst having a really consistent marking of the students' homework across the whole cohort. So that specifically to us, that's what we're really focusing on, is just diving deeper into building a really accurate, really high quality product.
And to offer like B2C product in the future? Because I see it's easy for a learner to have just some mobile apps and learning how to do pronunciation.
Yeah, look, I would love to. And this recent, you know, conversations with a whole range of investors, definitely it's very interesting for us because right now I'm very confident we have the best technology in the market in terms of spoken assessment. And we can do the same with the writing assessment, even with a very small team. We know what to do. We're very good at what we do. So being able to build a product in the consumer space, I would love to, but it changes what the company is. It changes us from a technology company to a marketing funnel company, essentially. So even if we do have the best products, that may not translate to the conversion rate of the students, for example. So I would love to. What we've done is we've kind of taken a half step in that direction, and now we've built a platform which we can white label and license to customers, so that they can have their own platform, branded their own company, and create their own lessons using all the technology which we have and which we have created. So that's the half step that we've taken. We've built now and basically an AI tutor speaking platform. And which eventually one day, I think maybe we could spin it out into our own consumer product, but not in the short term, unfortunately. All right. Still just remaining focused on
B2B. What make you say that you have the most powerful technology for AI tools that's helping people do better pronunciation? What make you say that?
Yeah, that's a really simple one, I think. And that's not something that we have said ourselves. This is what we're seeing in feedback from the market. You know, there's a particular customer which we signed recently, which signed with our biggest Vietnamese competitor before us. And they tried out their product once they signed the contract, and then they dropped the contract and came to us. And their feedback was, hey, your product is much better for a whole range of reasons.
Right.
So, and that's not the only contract. There's been a few others, particularly in Vietnam, which we're seeing this with. And I believe that's just because we're focused on what we do. You know, we have speaking APIs. We've just brought out a writing API, which is very similar to the speaking APIs. So we're really, really focused on what we're doing. And we're starting to see that with the contracts which we're winning.
I see. You said you have already have a big client in Vietnam. So wondering what is the role that Vietnam's market is playing in the strategic map of language confidence?
Yeah, Vietnam's a really exciting place. There's a lot happening there.
People want to learn English, man.
yeah. And look, I've spent nearly, I think about 4.5 months in the past year. I've actually been in Vietnam.
What do you think about this
first
market?
First of all, it's a beautiful country. I love it. And the people are amazing. In terms of the market itself, there's a lot of similar qualities in terms of macro analysis that are similar to China, where you have a very large population, an emerging middle class with a disposable income, access to technology, and a desire and propensity for learning English. So there's a lot of right signals here which look good from us, from a market entry point of view. And the other thing, the reason that we decided on this was we were seeing a lot of inbound interest from Vietnam, a lot of companies reaching out to us. And one of our very first customers, and also now one of our larger customers, is Galaxy Education or Hokmai. Yeah, so they're one of our customers for our products. Yeah, they're quite a big brand over there. And that's really exciting, of course, for us. And we have a really good relationship with the team there. So Tang and Mr. Lin, the CEO. So we're very, very lucky to have that partnership. But also, I believe it was chosen on the quality of the products which we provide as well. So I'm very confident with that. Vietnam is really exciting. There's a lot of companies looking at what we're doing and trying to implement technology and scale. You know, there's huge numbers of Vietnamese people which are middle or lower class, and they can't afford the tutor time. So they are looking for digital automated alternatives. And we can really enhance that platform for those students so that they can get a really high quality feedback on their spoken and now written English.
Have a pretty big customer in Vietnam. Học Mãi is a famous one here. But after you have Học Mãi, then do you receive interest from others, partners or language centers who are approaching you?
Some of the very big ones, actually, which I'm not sure I could name just yet until we sign the contract and announce it. But for example, we're partnered with Viet Tech now, which is also partnered with Macmillan, with their kids' English program, which has 300,000 kids throughout their program. And we're just finalizing the contract there for Language Hub as well. And then we have signed a contract with Sunday Q or EduQ as well, which is looking at a project with some of the telcos there. And some of the big language centers, which you've definitely heard of in Vietnam, working with them through some pilots and projects such as that. So there's definitely a lot happening in the Vietnamese market for us.
Always good to know. If one players in the market apply your technology, does it mean they're going to stand out from the rest? What happened if many, many players applying the same technology from you? How does it impact their competitiveness?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, versus not having it, it instantly makes the platform more attractive and more engaging for the students. So in terms of conversion rate to paying users and learning, the actual pedagogical value for the students, it's really important. So it adds value regardless. And now students are asking for this. They say, hey, we need to have something where we can practice our spoken English automatically. Mm-hmm. And then each of our customers actually uses it slightly differently. So each customer takes the API response and the information which we generate, and they all use it in their own very specific way. So in terms of the competitiveness, they seem to have that all figured out in terms of what exactly niche they're targeting and how they use the data which we provide to most service or best service that particular niche.
Do you see there's still a big demand, a big gap out there that you can still solve them if you improve your technology or you train your AIs better to fill the gap? Do you see that gap out there?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the where we're at now, the product and the accuracy, we have it's accurate to serve almost every segment. The only segment which we're working through, which takes some time, will be testing. eventually I'd love to move into the recognized testing space and use our product to automatically and fairly mark recognized English tests. But these big English tests, that will take some time. And we've had a conversation and run some pilots with a few of these big institutions already, and they're ongoing as well. But that, in terms of servicing universities or the test preparation space or the general English or corporate English, our product is there in terms of accuracy. So we're improving that now, but also adding features and value for the students that actually consume this on the front end.
There's still a lot of room to growth in terms of features and different aspect of the program, right? Not just speaking, but then testing and all the features.
Yep.
It's already been 5 years of this journey. And I want to ask you about your lessons of being an entrepreneur. If you can give out some advice out there to any aspiring entrepreneur who want to break into this industry, especially specifically the online education or AI or technology driven startup that's serving educational demand, what would be your advice for an aspiring young entrepreneur? Some of the lessons that you have learned from the last 5 years.
Very carefully find the balance between listening to other people but being stubborn enough to pursue your dream.
It's a tough one. That's, yeah, the balance.
That's And particularly when I was younger, it was too stubborn, didn't listen to anyone. This is what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it, which obviously didn't work out, right? But then there's taking too much, taking advice from people, and then there's taking too much advice from people and having too many different opinions. So find the balance where you listen to other people, you gather the right information, yet you're still doing what you believe is right. And the other thing I would say is say no more often. We used to take every opportunity and every meeting and every prospect inbound, and now we've become a lot more protective of our time and focus because it becomes too much. And I think this is all part of a maturing process. But learn to say no more often to things and to people. There's a lot of people that, wanted free equity and asked for giving us some advice or introductions or whatever it is, or they wanted to go for a coffee and try and sell us something. Say no. It's okay. And just focus on what you're doing, right? So they're probably the two biggest ones in general. In terms of education and education technology, pick your market, because, for example, selling to schools is incredibly tough. So pick your niche within the education market, being conscious of sales cycles and ability and willingness to pay, which is some of the issues that we had. Initially, we went after the selling to your big app companies in the world. And they weren't our target market. Our target market, lowest hanging fruit, was test preparation. So preparing for an IELTS or preparing for a PTE test. So be careful about picking your niche within the market based on what makes the business viable. And then be prepared to wait. Education moves slow. Be patient and be persistent.
So pick the right market. Sometimes choice is more important than efforts. So pick the right one, right? Pick the niche. And what would you say is the biggest challenge now for you that if you solve it, then you can take your product to the next level? What keeps you up at night for now? What are you working on? What are you trying to solve? What is the bottleneck that, if you can solve it, you're gonna take the company to the next level?
I think it will be the AI tutor platform, which we're building. 5 years ago, when I first started the company, I built a working demo of an AI tutor. Really clunky, really basic, but it was a talking avatar head that was driven by audio. And really, it was missing the sort of chatbot element, the ChatGPT element.
Right.
So I've had this vision in my head for 8 or 9 years of what I want to build. And I know now, seeing the response to even the testers of this AI platform, I can't share the quote because it contains swear words, but we had one of our testers literally swearing in a voice note to me saying, hey, this is amazing. I cannot wait to get this into my students' hands because of the approach that you've taken to this. So I think once we get that into a place where we can scale it out, I think that will change where we're at in terms of growth and market penetration because of the power of the platform which we're building.
Yeah, you started the company 5 years ago and now it turned out to be like this. And if you look forward 5 years from now, I mean, how do you envision a future of online learning or English learning? And how is language confidence playing in shaping that future? What's the future of English learning, pronunciation, and all kind of, you know, speaking and test prep and online with AI-driven technology support? And where are we heading?
I think there'll be one of the biggest advantages of being a teacher is you know your students, you know what they like, what they don't like, what they're good at, what they're not good at. And this is a path that we're taking as well, is moving into a route where you know your students, you know, the AI will know their students. Not as a teacher knows their students, it'll probably be more binary than that, but you know, they'll know that they like these certain topics and they struggle with these certain skills. So I think learning will be a lot more personalized and I think it will be a lot more engaging. You know, the consumer-facing apps will not be, hey, come here and learn these five sentences to start off your English journey. It's no, like, let's really dive into what you like learning and what level you're at in terms of the applicable level of content. So I think that will be it, where it's just this personalized, standardized journey of learning any language, really, but with English. And I think language confidence, where we're going, is being a big part of that, empowering all of those platforms to do exactly that.
Good. I look forward to see that language confidence have more clients in Vietnam. And we welcome you to be back here anytime, man.
I look forward to it, man. I actually can't wait.
Thank you for sharing. And that's the story of Mr. Nicholas Jenskin, the founders and CEO of Language Confidence. And that's it for the Digi Frontier podcast today. And thank you so much for listening. You can always listen to this conversation anytime, anywhere by following us on Spotify or Google and Apple Podcasts. And also you can subscribe to YouTube channel Viet Success to listen to upcoming episode on Digi Frontiers podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter that's coming out every Thursday morning. We have the links below, so please put your email there. We're going to send you updates, insight, and more upcoming information and episode from Viet Success. So once again, thank you, and I'll see you next time. Thank you, Nick. Good luck.